In his new book, The Truth Has Changed, filmmaker and activist Josh Fox looks to answer many questions through art and literature. The big one being, what does the future hold? The Truth Has Changed is his first book, and it's the companion to his new one-man show of the same title. Josh Fox is the writer, director, and narrator of the Oscar-nominated, Emmy-winning film Gasland, and it's a pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Josh, thank you very much for being with us.
Nice to be back. Thanks very much.
Obviously, we talked to you during while you were working on Gasland and subsequent projects. What brought you to this particular overall look at just how everything has changed?
Well, the Truth Has Changed is actually very specifically about two major shifts in our world. One of them is the climate. The climate has become radically altered in ways that are creating havoc all across the planet. But perhaps even more disturbing in certain ways is a change to a totally other ecosystem, which is how we process information. This ecosystem of media and politics and public discourse, which is, of course, the ecosystem that we want to be rooted in truth. But at the time, you know, in America right now, propaganda and misinformation are more prevalent than journalism. In fact, oligarchy has supplanted democracy, and we can't really get out of that vicious cycle without an attempt to restore a public dialogue, a sense of public communal verifiable truth.
As you point out in the book, our normal isn't normal anymore. Is this a direct result as to the election of 2016, or does it go beyond that?
Well, the reason why I'm involved in this is because obviously throughout the entire time when I was working on fracking and really breaking the story on fracking worldwide with Gasland, the oil and gas industry came after me with a $50 to $100 million smear campaign. They bought ads pegged to my name and to the name of the film on Google. They were doing extensive advertising. There was whole PR outfits created to try to counter the facts on fracking. In fact, they made two counter films, you can't really call them documentaries because they're basically just lies, attacking Gasland and attacking the fracking movement. And those same people, rooted at the office of Breitbart and Breitbart.com, ended up taking over the government and taking over the world. And yes, I'm talking about Steve Bannon and Donald Trump and that ilk. Steve Bannon ran Andrew Breitbart or Breitbart.com for many years, and these people followed me all around the nation. So that was a very harrowing and difficult thing. I never really went out and talked about it because we didn't want to be sinking into the mud. We thought of it as punching down. We're not going to get down into the dirt with the smear mongers. Well, now those people run the world, and their techniques and their methods are deeply prevalent, not just in media, but also on the internet. And the internet being an extraordinary tool for propaganda and misinformation, as it is also an extraordinary tool for egalitarianism and truth. But, you know, this is a roadmap through that personal history. The book, The Truth Has Changed, is actually a performance that I'm going all across the country performing in theaters and in amazing places. I'm on tour right now. I'm going to be at the Wexner Center in Columbus, Ohio. 2 days ago, we were down in New York City. We've done 10 or 12 days throughout New York and Pennsylvania and Vermont and California, and we're touring all across the country with The Truth Has Changed. The Truth Has Changed, the book, is actually the script of the performance monologue with quite a few additions because it's a bit longer than the actual monologue. But that's at www.thetruthhaschangedtour.com. So it will be a film. I think of it as a spoken documentary where I really go into the deep and nefarious misinformation campaigns of Cambridge Analytica, of Steve Bannon, of many of the forces that were altering public consciousness during the 2016 election and are still doing so now, as up against the backdrop of a very violently altered climate.
Talk a little bit about why the idea of doing a spoken word performance was the outlet that you wanted for this particular work.
Well, it was amazing. My last film, How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change, which is really the third part of the Gasland trilogy, Gasland 1, Gasland 2, and How to Let Go. I went into HBO. All those films were on HBO. And that movie did very well. Lots and lots of people watched it, thanks to all the people who watched it. And they wanted me to do a new project. And we couldn't, you know, really come up with it. And finally, Sheila Nevins, who's the guru of documentaries of all time at HBO, she's my mentor and in many ways my tour mentor, who I love. She just points across the desk and she goes, "You're going to take that show that you do all over the road, and we're going to make it into a one-man performance, and we're going to put that on HBO." And so I have been touring with Gasland, with Gasland 2, with How to Let Go, with Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock, my last film on Standing Rock, and doing public appearances, being out on the road with Bernie Sanders. My history and my origins as a maker of work is as in the theater. So she knew all this, and she said, she wanted me to make this one-man show. So we worked on it for a year in development, with workshop performances in New York and in New Orleans and San Francisco and Los Angeles, and it's finally ready now, and we're all over the country on tour with it. But it was an idea that sprung up from Sheila Nevins, who is a genius, and I had to sort of take it on. But I love it. I'm having an amazing time doing it. We're having incredible audiences come out for this, and the responses from people have been utterly effusive. So please do come out and check it out if it's coming to your town. We're going to be in Columbus. We're going to be in Milwaukee, Lincoln, Nebraska, Boulder, Colorado, Houston, Brownsville, Texas, Los Angeles, San Luis Obispo, Chico, Oakland, to name a few, as we head out over the next couple of months.
There is a scene in the book. It's called How Do Things Change? And I guess that's the question that so many people have of how do we change things now?
Things change because people get personally involved. That section of How Do Things Change is basically asking a question of how did the fracking movement get started? Susan Fry in Guy, Arkansas, 1,000 fracking-induced earthquakes in Arkansas. She was completely obsessed, but her husband was thrown out of his lazy boy chair during a 4.7 earthquake, and I imagine that when he hit the ground, something changed. Or Amy Ellsworth in Colorado, who had fire coming out of her sink, explosions because her water was so flammable due to fracking. She was showering in the dark for fear that a spark from her light bulb would blow her across the street in the middle of the shower. And I imagine her there freezing, not being able to see, terrified something changed. Or Terry Greenwood, who died of glioblastoma, brain cancer. 9 out of 10 of his calves on his farm were born stillborn. And I imagine his widow walking away from his gravesite, realizing that she buried her own husband before she buried the calf, which was evidence of the fracking contamination, and how something there changed. These are the personal stories that we go into in the play and in the film and in the book, about individual change. We change when our sense of who we are is on the line. And we only change the government, we only change this country when we get involved, when we leave our house, when we go to community meetings, when we volunteer, when we participate. And lo and behold, that is also the solution to the terrifying isolation and depression that people feel in today's political climate. If you spend all your time staring at your phone, you're in a tiny little walled garden of all your own. What you have to do is fight fire with water. And water is us being in a theater together. Water is us sharing information. Water is life, and life is about truth. And we can't have a sense of what we are doing as a democratic society without a mutually acknowledged, verified sensibility of how we determine and derive truth. We always do that as a collective. And the things that the propaganda people would have us do is to separate and divide and conquer and to push, smear, and misinformation on our Facebook feeds and on our Google searches and on our IP addresses. And that is one of the things that the PEACE addresses. But we must change, and we only change as a collective.
One of the things that I found fascinating in just your answer is what that group can do, of what an audience can do. And it just seems at this time that people need that togetherness. Yeah. They need to come together. They need to feel as though they're not the only one feeling the way they do.
And I need it. Look, we all need that. I mean, to be honest, look, we made Gasland. We made Gasland Part 2. We made these films on HBO. That was going into 40 million homes in the United States. Why did we tour? I toured 500 cities, across the world in the last 10 years. The reason why is because we need to digest the information in a setting where we can organize. We used to say about Gasland Part 2, don't watch it alone. It's too scary, like Psycho. And the truth is, information out there right now, especially about the climate and especially about the ways in which our democracy is being tampered with, especially about the fact that we have an authoritarian, racist, climate change-denying, anti-science cheeto as the president, These things are extraordinarily depressing and isolating. The cure for our isolation, the cure for our depression, how we reinstate hope, how we reinstate the American dream, how we reinstate our understanding of how we can get back to a society based on truth and goodness and equality is always going to happen in rooms together. That's what we're trying to provide, right? So whether or not it's a film screening that you host and you bring 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 people into a room, we have that program to allow people to do that free of charge. Or if it's coming to the tour, most of these tour dates are free. Some of them are $5, $10, whatever. We want people coming into that room together. And we've had incredible success doing that. We had 1,000 people in Ithaca to see the show. We had hundreds of people in Narrowsburg and in Vermont and in Westchester, PA, all these places that we've gone because there's a movement there. And that movement, at the end of that show, they get up and they stand on their feet and we cheer and scream. And that is part of what it is to be healed and restored. And so that's why we do these tours. And it is one of the most amazing experiences that I have, just being able to see that human face of what's actually happening in America. America is not a dark place right now. America is a place that's under a tyrannical rule. Donald Trump was not elected by the majority of people. He was elected by the Electoral College, and the majority of people in America feel that. There need to be places for that to be an outlet, and those are political rallies. Those are political campaigns. And yes, of course, that's the theater, and that's art, and that's culture. So I encourage people, get out, go out of your house. Of course, read the book, get the book, but more than that, let's find the places where we can communally come together. And we're going to be touring this piece for quite a while, a year or two, so there will be opportunities.
The book is The Truth Has Changed. For more information about the performance with tour dates and all of the information you need, you can go to thetruthhaschangedtour.com, thetruthhaschangedtour.com. Josh Fox, thank you very much for sharing with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Always amazing to be with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the work is The Truth Has Changed. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.